ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Stop the flights, rules the U.S. Supreme Court this morning, early morning, an emergency ruling saying the Trump administration cannot, for now, use the Enemy Aliens Act to deport people, pending further court review. Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen, back from El Salvador, says the wrongfully deported Kilmar Abrego Garcia has been moved out of the notorious Secot prison to a less severe facility.
Van Hollen says their conversation was Abrego Garcia's first communication with anyone from the outside world since arriving in El Salvador on March 15.
ABC's Rachel Scott. The 911 call shows that after firebombing the home of Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, the suspect called police himself to apologize. China e-commerce sites Temu and Shein say they'll raise prices on U.S. customers next week because of President Trump's tariffs on goods shipped from China and the closing of a loophole. This is ABC News.
The Brewers win their third in a row. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 5-3 win over the A's at AmFam Field. Caleb Durbin, called up from Nashville, made his major league debut with two hits on four at-bats, a run scored, and a big defensive play from his spot at third base. Game two of the series is tonight. NBA, the Bucks' Damian Lillard, back after just 1 month of treatments for a blood clot in his right leg. Lillard says the early warning signs were not easy to detect.
I mean, I was at dinner, and I could, you know, usually if I have a strain, I could feel it when I walk. You know, I know what that felt like because I was familiar with it. But this, I was at dinner and my leg just felt swollen. You know, it was like super tight. So I think that was the toughest part throughout this entire time was, you know, that first couple days when I first started to feel it, it was obvious that it was there. You know, I didn't know it was a blood clot. But once I found out that's what it was, I knew what it was, you know, why it was so sore and swollen. And that was kind of what led me to go to the team in the first place because I was just like, this ain't normal, you know.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Northern Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny, look for a high near 50 degrees with a northwest breeze up to 15 miles per hour at times. Clear and calm tonight, a low around 28. Mostly cloudy Sunday, a high near 55. Chance of rain, possibly mixed with snow Sunday night, 33.
Right now, 31 degrees.
Are you looking for a fulfilling way to spend your time and enjoy helping others? Park Manor may have the perfect job opportunity for you. Park Manor is a 100% employee-owned rehabilitation and nursing care facility located in Park Falls in the heart of the Northwoods. Their mission is to provide excellent quality care in an atmosphere of compassion, hospitality, and respect for the dignity of each person. Come explore open positions, which include RN, LPN, certified nurse aides, and positions within the support service department, offering competitive wages, a great benefits package, and incentive opportunities. To apply, visit parkmanorwy.com. That's parkmanorwy.com. Or reach out to Human Resources at 715-744-1034. 715-744-1034. Park Manor, always caring, always here.
What's up, Wisconsin? This is Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman, the hostess with the mostest, the side pilot, the one who rides shotgun, is under the weather today. But that's all right. Chefferie, certified French culinarian, and official chef of the show, Raised in Wisco, Ellie Mae Lawton, is filling in for Danielle. Ellie Mae, great to have you here.
What's going on? Hey, Joel. Oh, I'm just so happy to be here.
I detected a bit of sarcasm.
I have spent several days studying dad jokes, so I'm really hoping to bust them out tonight.
Ooh, well, we love dad jokes on the show. That is for sure. And I'm pretty excited because I've got an entire family here. I've got the Cumbier family. And this is the absolute perfect guest to have for turkey season. It is turkey hunting season, spring yes. turkey season. It is that time when people say to themselves, I just cannot handle not getting in the woods and hunting something. And just when that happens, just when you're at your wit's end, just when husbands and wives have had enough of each other, just when children are driving their parents crazy, you can get out into the changing seasons of Wisconsin and enjoy turkey.
You can get into the blind hunting. And not listen to any of them.
That's true, unless you take them along. which is what I end up doing anyway. But then
that's
the
okay.
beauty of it is that's okay because you can't really have, you can't really get in arguments in the blind.
And when you tell someone to shut up in the blind, they typically never get mad at you. Because I told you to shut up in the blind a few times.
Yes. Danielle's told me to shut up in a blind.
You also told me
Jess
to shut up in the blind.
To shut up in a blind. Darren has told me to shut up in a blind. Jason's told me to shut up in a blind. I talk a lot. That's probably part of the problem. The Come Beer family is with us tonight. And I'm really excited about this because we have a first-time hunter. You know, if you listen to the show, if you're a fan of Raised in Wisco, you know how much I care about getting new people into the waters and woods of Wisconsin. That is like one of the reasons, that's one of the reasons I was excited about doing this show and doing this kind of show. Justin Cumbier is here. He's here with his wife, Tabitha Tiffany. We're not sure which one. It's Tabitha, right? Yes, I'm sure it's Tabitha. And they're, well, what? I'm mixing up Tabitha and
name
Tiffany.
Tags?
That's like, they each have three syllables. What do you expect?
Oh, come on. I mean,
I just realized Justin's got camo dudes on.
I know. I saw them. They're pretty cool.
It doesn't really get more comfortable. And
oh my goodness.
He's got a camo. Bro, you are stealing my thunder. Camouflage is my favorite color.
Okay. Well, I just want to point out that all of us have camo on tonight or today, except you.
Is my hat has camo.
Doesn't count.
What? How does it not count?
Can hardly see it.
My hat has camo. Okay, you
I'm
just said
say
everybody has
camo.
Everyone has camo on except
you.
Me. I have camo on.
I think just your pink shirt.
Okay, go on Facebook and watch the show. I have. That's red. That's not pink. Oh my gosh, boy! I'm really glad Danielle's not here. I want to talk to mom and dad first about this. First of all, I want to do our weekly Wisco.
I think we should correct you. This is not our daughter.
Oh, it's not.
This is not our daughter.
I would love
Harper as a daughter, but this is not our child.
Well, then let's just consider your hunting adoptive daughter.
Your hunting daughter.
That's better.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, that, and you know what? That makes this story even more special because one of the things that I've done through the years, I've literally taken probably more than 100 people for their first hunt. And obviously they weren't all my children.
I was gonna
come on at least that, that's
oh,
funny at
that's
least.
Good
yeah don't be afraid to laugh at my dad jokes but one of the important things is finding people who want to try to get into the outdoors and taking them and that certainly is not limited to family. In fact, what I want to talk about with that is that a lot of people don't have that opportunity. They don't have family that's into hunting and they need somebody else. If it weren't for someone else, I never would have gotten into hunting. I started when I was 38 years old. So I'm...
That was like 40 years ago.
Oh my God. Wow. That was not 40 years ago.
Oh, whoops. I'm not great at math.
I'm only... That was like 5 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. That was later in life. But the point of it is that when you have the opportunity... And someone takes you, that you're introducing somebody to something they may never have had a chance to do. And so first off, we're going to get to Weekly Wisco. I feel like we got to do Weekly Wiscos.
Yeah.
Weekly Wisco is where we describe something we did in the outdoors of Wisconsin that was fantastic within the past week. Now, I know mine, it has to be. My turkey tag is coming up in a week. It's coming up next week. You know, you guys are listening to the show Saturday, and this is the... second week of turkey season already. Mm-hmm. And my tag comes up on Wednesday and I'm really excited about it. So I'm spending every scintilla of time I have extra driving around, knocking on doors, watching for turkeys in the morning and the night. And the crazy part about that is, the tough part about it is that as the weeks go on, other folks start hunting the fields that you're watching. So those turkeys disappear or they go into hiding. So it makes it a lot tougher. So that's my weekly Wisco. What do you got, Ellie?
Well, you know, I'm always horses hunting or hiking.
That is true.
This past weekend, I had the pleasure of spending the weekend at the Midwest Horse Fair in Madison.
Oh, that sounds fun.
It was beautiful weather. It was outside, a ton of great people, fantastic horses, very talented riders. So it was a great event.
What is that for everybody? Is it a closed event?
It's open to the public. It's fantastic. You don't need to know anything about horses. You can go and look at some beautiful horses, do some fantastic shopping. They have great food. So I, of course, ate a lot of food in between visiting and looking at horses.
Oh, well, that's very good. And sounds like it was
great
a great
way to
time.
Spend a couple days in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I'm not a super horse guy, but I guess if it's for anybody, you could show up there and it'd probably
sometimes your
be
voice
fun.
Is hoarse.
That is very often my voice is
from
hoarse.
Talking so much
it's
in
okay.
the blind.
Hey, Justin, our guest Justin Cumbier, it's okay to laugh at her jokes, even if she's making fun of me, Justin. It's okay. Don't worry about
and
that.
And even if they're not good, you can still laugh.
That's right. Jacob, what about you? How have you been, man? What have you been up to? And do you have any chances to get out into the outdoors of Wisconsin this past week? Oh, by the way, want to just give a reintroduction to our new producer, Jacob, who's doing a stellar job so far. We got Noah Morris in the house helping us out with production as well. And Jacob's back in the fishbowl. And that's why we sound so good when you hear us Saturday mornings at 11 o'clock on your civic media stations throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Jacob, did you get outside?
Jill, I've barely left this room this week.
Whoa.
You know,
I'm busy.
I don't doubt it. Well, okay.
Did you at least take your nature walk around the studio and see your squirrel?
I didn't see a squirrel. I did take my nature walk into the slight amount of grass outside here. And Jill, by the way, I just want to thank you. Last week, we all saw that I didn't know that much about the outdoors. And I appreciate here on my second show ever, you know, you've decided to say, hey, here's a 13-year-old girl who knows a lot more than you do, Jacob. So thank you very much. I feel great. I appreciate that.
Well, as our previous producer, the amazing Jess, the producer, did not have a strong interest or knowledge of hunting. She ended up a hunter with us. So we hope, Jacob, that we will win you over and eventually be able to do some things in the outdoors with you. So please take that as an ongoing and constant invitation, Jacob, to definitely learn from what we talk about on the show and please be a part of it. We'd love to get into the outdoors with you at some point. All right.
Don't worry, Jacob. I'll eventually tell you to shut up in the blind too.
I'm sure she will. And the reason she says it so much is because she talks so much, but sorry, I can't help. Justin Cumbier is here with his wife, Tabitha, and they brought a very special person along with them because I think it's an incredible milestone and a very important thing when you take somebody out into the woods the first time. So Tabitha, and tell me how you guys got to know Harper and how you came from, and by the way, Harper is a 13-year-old young lady, and she's in camo too, and she went turkey hunting, and we're going to let you know how that turkey hunt went. I can't wait to hear about it. But how did you guys even get to know her?
Harper is one of a family friend. My husband works with her father, and they are a hunting family. Awesome. However, they've never been turkey hunting. So,
wow.
Perfect opportunity. She is not the only one of her siblings that went out this year. However, she is the person that Justin took out this year for our youth hunt.
Oh, that's fantastic. Justin, talk to me about how you're involved with the youth hunt.
Oh, man. Where does it begin? I think it was probably 10 years ago. I think 10 or 11 years ago, Tom's Guns in Marshall, Wisconsin, there did the learn hunt.
Oh my goodness
sakes.
I knew where this was going.
How did you know that? How did you know the secret, Tabitha?
I watch social media.
You know the Tom's Guns?
You know the Tom's Guns story with me?
I've heard it.
How have you heard it? Oh my gosh. Now I feel like I'm in a room with people.
Well, maybe not all the details. I feel like there's like more that's supposed to be coming of this.
Oh, we'll get to that. So cool.
Wow. Right. We just derailed.
Yeah. So my wife and I, she used to be heavily involved in the NWTF.
National Wild Turkey Federation.
Yep. Which my daughters are always funny. No. The reason I like that people to say that is because my daughters are always like, Dad, what's with the NWTF? And I'm like, what do you mean? And they say, you know, it's like the NWTF, bro. And I'm like, no, that is not what it means. It's the National Wild Turkey Federation. So involved in the NWTF. Okay.
Yep. So when we went to our first banquet, my first NWTF banquet, I enjoyed it. And 2 years later, I mean, to this is our 10th year doing it. We're actually, I'm president of Jefferson County NWTF chapter. So
awesome. Awesome.
Obviously with Tom's and doing the mentorship hunt, I'm all about the youth getting new people out in the outdoors away from the video games. And obviously last year was their last year and I didn't want to see that just go away. So we partnered up with Marshall Lions Club and started our own youth / learn to hunt turkey hunt program.
Wow, that's unbelievable. I am so excited to talk to Harper about this. I am so excited to talk to you about Tom's Guns and Tom Burkholz in particular. I think this is going to be fantastic. I did not know that you specifically did the Tom's Guns hunt. How many years had you done that?
I'd say it was probably 9 or 10.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
I was mentoring.
And that just goes to show the legacy of Tom Burkholz and how Julie Burkholz, his wife, continue to keep his legacy alive. I am so excited about that. I can't tell you. We're going to talk to Harper about her hunt. We're going to talk to the Cumbiers when we come back. And I'm going to talk about Tom from Tom's Guns and what he means to me. This is Raised in Wisco.
Progressive knows when you own a boat or RV, it's like you're automatically on vacation, even if you're actually a marriage counselor in the middle of couples therapy. But in your mind, you're camping in Acadia, puttering around Frenchman Bay. Your boat and RV are both protected, your lobster drenched in butter and... Uh-oh, did your clients just notice you weren't listening? Quick, do the thing where you just repeat back exactly what they said but as a question. They bought it. Now back to Maine, earning an automatic discount bundling your boat or RV with your home or auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
Did you know 98Q Country now posts some of their best content online for you to listen anytime?
Wow.
It's just at 98QCountry.com. Go to the top of the page. Here, I'll do it with you. 98QCountry.com. Yes, the numbers. 98, then the letter Q, country, dot. That's the period button down there. Com, C-O-M. And then just hit enter. There you go.
Oh.
Now when you're at 98QCountry.com, simply click podcasts. Aha. At the top of the... No, not the logo. You're already on the website.
Hmm.
Click 98Q Podcast. It's in the top right corner. You click it once. Boy, I thought this was going to be easy. There you go. Some of our most recent and most valuable content is there, like Joel's reality radio segments.
Aha.
You can even check on old shopping show segments to see what kind of deals you can take advantage of.
Aha.
Even some of Gray's content in the afternoon show.
Ooh.
It's the 98Q Podcast section of 98QCountry.com. 98Q Country content available on demand.
Aha.
Spring has sprung at Baders. Come check out the great deals on hunting and fishing gear for all outdoor activities. Great selection of turkey calls and decoys from Primo and Gooserback calls. Shotguns and rifles from Winchester, Ruger, Savage, and Mossberg. Ammunition from Federal, Winchester, Aguila, and Remington. For the fishermen and women, they have rods and reels from Daiwa and Fenwick. Lures from Meps, Berkeley, Strike King, and VMC, and many others. And footwear from Danner and Lacrosse. Get your sport on at Bader Sports Center next to Pick and Save in Phillips.
Raised in Wisco is your one-stop shop for the everything in the great outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin. You can listen to us on all civic media stations throughout the state, 21 civic media stations, Saturdays at 11 o'clock. And of course, you can listen to us if you miss the show live on Saturdays. You can go listen to the podcast of the show on civicmedia.com.
Do you need me to say when? It's
Ellie.
Actually .us.
.us. Ellie, Danielle's not here, so this falls to you.
I got you.
Where else can they listen to the show?
Civicmedia.us. Search for Raised in Wisco. You can also check us out on Spotify, Apple, and YouTube.
Huh.
Or the MeTube. Is that a thing?
I don't think so.
I get that on my flip phone. I have MeTube on my flip phone.
You probably do have a flip phone.
What's folks, wrong with that?
Hearty good thoughts to Danielle Fairman, who's under the weather today. Ellie Mae Lawton is with us, our chefferie, our official French culinarian, the official chef of Raised in Wisco, is filling in for Danielle as our co-host this week. It's great to have you. I appreciate you making the time to do this. And of course, don't worry, we will get to a recipe at the end of the show.
Oh, yeah, I'm running the show today. We're getting to the recipe.
Okay, hey, don't listen. The ratings go up every time we talk about food. And after all, what is Raised in Wisco at the end of the day?
A cooking show.
It's a cooking show, because I don't care if you love the outdoors, you love the indoors. There's one thing that ties Democrats to Republicans, liberals to conservatives, and everyone else in between, and that is we all got to eat. And there's nothing better than taking the wonderful things from the great state of Wisconsin and the outdoors, like venison, like forage mushrooms, you name
it. Dandelions.
Dandelion salad. Yeah. My mom used to make that growing up.
Dandelion
that was fantastic.
Jam or jelly.
Yes. Some people even make dandelion wine.
Yeah.
So there is, and we are coming into the season where there are so many things to harvest in the outdoors. Oh, are we, is the recipe going to be turkey-ish?
Related? It is going to be turkey.
Oh, I'm very happy about that. And what makes me extremely happy about that is because we've got a young lady here who hunted her first turkey on the youth hunt, and Justin Cumbier took her out, and his wife Tabitha is along, and they met this young lady, Harper. And tell me how you guys ended up meeting Harper and how Harper ended up wanting to hunt. Now, her family are hunters, and how did you end up with this guy taking you if your family were hunters, Harper? How did that work out?
Well, my dad doesn't really like go turkey hunting because we never really went, and he asked me if he wanted to be my mentor for turkey hunting, and I said yeah.
Well, heck yeah. I mean, the guy's awesome. Got a pretty good record, I would say, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Now, what made it, I'm really curious, this is real fun, because you're 13 years old. Tell me why you want, have you hunted anything before?
I mean, I've gone hunting, like deer hunting, but like I never really shot anything yet, so.
You never killed anything before this?
So the turkey was your first harvest?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's awesome.
So what made you think to yourself, hey, my family hunts, but they don't really turkey hunt, but I want a turkey hunt? What was going through your mind that made you think that?
Well, it's kind of just like a new experience to like go from, to like from like deer hunting to turkey hunting and like more of that. And since it's like not really deer season yet, why not go turkey hunting and try something new?
Absolutely.
Whoa, this kid's got it together.
Yeah, she does.
That's making
me look goodness. Bad.
Yeah.
She's making all of us look bad.
I'm just going to give the show over to the ladies who are here, Justin. You and I are just going to sit and watch. So I think what you just said in there really strikes a chord with me, and I'll tell you why. So many kids. What are you, in eighth grade?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're in eighth grade. What are your friends most of the time doing that probably adds up to 5 hours a day or more?
They're usually just sitting inside either like just playing on their phones or like playing video games.
Playing on their phones and playing video games. Tell me what it's like when you had, I'm so impressed with you and so impressed that you thought, I want to get outside and do something. And I don't want to be sitting on my phone or playing video games. I want to experience the outdoors, right? And how did your friends receive this?
Well, they don't really go out so much, but like just going outside more is just like better than just like sitting on your phone, because it's honestly more boring than just sitting inside.
Yeah, I know. Sitting inside does get boring. And I think people get these false realities, you know, that exists on their phone. Nothing compares to being in the three dimensions of the outdoors, the smells, the sights, the sounds, and then being able to take something home at the end of that and have it go to your dinner table. And that's really an unbelievably fantastic, basic, you know, human desire, I think. And I think it's the satisfaction of eating something that you harvested in the wild is just, it's unparalleled. I think it really is. Justin Cumbier, you took her on her first turkey hunt. What made you think, you know, is a friend from work's daughter. What made you think, oh, you know what? I'd love to be the person to give, you know, give this opportunity.
I don't know. She just showed interest in it, and I picked up on it, and I wanted to at least give her the opportunity to do it. And every kid deserves a chance. So
yeah,
it was pretty easy.
What did you think about this, Tabitha? How much does Justin put into making sure new kids get out there? Because they're scouting. Look, scouting is not, I think that my wife thinks I'm just absolutely crazy because I put in so much windshield time. How much does he put into making sure these kids have an opportunity?
I'll say for the next, well, starting before the youth hunt until the end of sixth season, I'm a single mom.
So you'll be getting some jewelry afterwards or something? Nice dinner, vacation.
He puts tons of time into making sure that whoever he is mentoring, whether it be a first-time hunter, a buddy that he's gone with for 10 years, he does as much as he can to make sure that that person harvests a bird because he wants to see the excitement on that person's mm-hmm. face.
There that is sounds nothing familiar. Like
that
it.
Sounds yeah. like Joel Clayfish.
Joel Jr. over here, right?
Yeah, we got Joel and Joel Jr. over here.
That does sound familiar. tell me, okay, now I want to hear about the hunt. Tell me about the hunt, where it was, what kind of decoy you set up you had, and how it unfolded.
Well, I've been scouting birds since, I don't know, beginning of March, and I thought I had everything figured out for Harper, and I was very, very confident. I told her it's going to be a nice, easy hunt. It's a long walk, but we're going to be right in on them tight. We're going to get done early. And we got in early. Birds started gobbling. I looked out the blind window up in the tree. I'm like, oh, yeah, they're where we need them to be. Well, then started getting lighter out the first Tom pitched out, and he pitched out south of us. And I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. not a big deal. And
for the record, when he says pitched out, that means he flew from yep. the tree to the ground. A lot of people don't realize turkeys sleep in trees. That surprises some people. But those suckers can actually fly pretty well. You'd be surprised. And when they far. Get that running start and take off up to those trees, you'll see them go
and
straight
they can
up.
Balance on little tiny twigs waving in yes, the breeze.
Yes, they do.
It's crazy.
Yeah, some of them birds were like, way up high yeah. where it's thin, and I would have thought they would have snapped for sure.
Yeah,
that is crazy.
But the first Tom pitched out south onto the neighbor's field, and I'm like, that's fine. We're still in the game. There's still one more Tom already on the ground that I heard. Well, then I heard bang.
Oh, and no. And you heard bang. Now hold that thought, because I cannot wait to hear how this story continues after that. Bang means someone else shot at one of the birds you were scouting. Oh, this is very exciting. That is why Raised in Wisco is awesome.
Northern Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny, look for a high near 50 degrees with a northwest breeze up to 15 miles per hour at times. Clear and calm tonight, a low around 28. Mostly cloudy Sunday, a high near 55. Chance of rain, possibly mixed with snow Sunday night, 33. Right now, 31 degrees. 98 Q Country.
Raised in Wisco, I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Danielle has the week off. Ellie Mae Lawton is filling in for her. We're in the middle of a very tense, very exciting turkey hunt. Harper is here with us. She's 13. She's got a shotgun in her hand for the first time on her very first wild game turkey hunt of her life. Justin Cumbier is the mentor on this hunt. Justin's wife, Tabitha, is with us in the studio, in the Concord studio at WFSH.
And I'm on the edge of my seat because I need to know what happens after bang.
You get into the woods. This now, folks, I don't care if you're a hunter or not. This is a fascinating story. You're in the woods. You have busted your rear end to know where these turkeys are. You put them to bed. They're roosting. You get in, set up. You don't disturb them. You got your decoy spread out. And they fly out of the roost. Yes, folks, they sleep in trees. They fly out of the roost the wrong direction, but that's okay. They can mm-hmm. still see your decoys. You got your calls set, and all of a sudden you hear a bang. That means somebody shot at the birds you scouted. Is there a more gut-wrenching feeling, Justin?
Not really, because I at that point, when I heard the bang, I tried to be positive around Harper and just reassure it's early, it'd still be fine, but deep down inside, you know that it kind of affected how your morning was going to happen.
It can blow everything. Oh, yeah. And that is a lesson. That is a lesson about hunting. And that is why you make a point to enjoy everything you do while you're out there, because there is no guarantee. I've been out there and a farmer drove right past me with the tiller. You know, I've been out there and I've had somebody stop on the side of the road and start yelling at you for hunting. I've had that happen before. You cannot control Mother Nature either, and you can't control where someone else is hunting. All right, pick it up from there. I want to know what happened. So that was right off the bat in the morning. So that was your bird.
After he shot, or they shot, the hens pitched out into our field. And so then I'm like, okay, this changes everything.
That's a great sign.
I know there's still Tom on the ground in the woods. He's still gobbling. The hens are in our field.
Oh, boy.
I said that Tom's going to come into our field.
That's
called hitting reset.
Yeah. Well, so all of a sudden we're watching, I'm counting the hens and I'm like, okay, the Tom's going to end up in here, Harper. It's fine. I look up, here comes Tom.
Okay. How much later?
Is good. But this was probably within 2 minutes after the shot.
Oh, wow.
Oh boy.
So it was like up, down emotions.
Never. Oh yeah. Like a roller coaster. Harper, what are you thinking when you're sitting there and, you know, and he's got a fairly strong confidence about what's going to happen. What's going through your mind when you heard the gunshot?
I could kind of tell, like, how he was, like, feeling about it. Because, like, if you're, like, hunting for something, you're either going to get it, not get it, or just wait until you find some more something else. Because they could either see you, you could either shoot at it, miss, or just get.
And now, did you see the look on his face change when he heard that gunshot? Tell me the truth.
Yeah, I kind of could.
Did you see any tears? Because I would have been a little teared up at that point.
Tell me this. What's going through your mind? What are you thinking when all of a sudden the hens are now on the ground? And, you know, technically you could harvest a bearded hen if you saw a beard on one of the hens. Did any of the hens have beards that
no,
you noticed? No,
not that I noticed.
What's going through your mind, Harper, when you see that Tom break the tree line and start walking into the field? What are you thinking? What are you feeling at that point?
I like excitement because, like, I've never been turkey hunting, so it was, like, just kind of cool to see and, like, just, like, was, like, calling them, trying to get them over there. And, like, just seeing where they're going to go.
So, Justin, are you running calls at this point? What are you running?
Yeah, I'm just running a slate call.
You got a slate call. So, you're giving... Are you yelping?
A little yelping and purrs.
All right.
It didn't matter. He didn't care.
He didn't care. The Tom didn't care.
That wasn't the greatest.
That wasn't a great
example.
That's
a bad example, but it's okay.
That's okay. I'm a little hoarse.
They were henned up. Big time this weekend. So
how many toms were left once the one was shot on the other side? How many toms were left?
There was only one left.
There
the
was
woods.
One. Now, were there Jakes in the group with the hens?
Nope. Just hens and the tom.
You had one opportunity. All right. Keep talking. I thought.
And then he had just sat there in full strut and was gobbling, hanging out with his hens. And I told Harper, I said, you know what? It sucks to say this, but he ain't going to come. He's content with his girlfriends. He doesn't care about us. He doesn't care about the strut and decoy. I said, so might be in for a long morning. Well, then I happened to look down 600 yards out to the west.
And 600 yards, six football fields.
Yeah, it was a ways.
Holy cow.
I see a black blob and I'm looking and I'm like, okay, there's a turkey down there. And he's heading towards our direction. And then
on a clip or just kind of meandering?
Just meandering, just on his own. Well, then all of a sudden I heard a gobble out that way. So I look again, okay, he's closer. So I put my mouth call in, yelped at him. He gobbled back. I'm like, okay. Well, it took him probably a half hour to, you know, start working, getting closer and closer. Well, there's a ditch before you get to our field. And he kept gobbling on his own. I'd call a little bit and just kind of not pay a whole lot of attention to him. Well, he finally crossed that ditch. And that was probably 150 yards.
Oh,
I looked at Harper and I said, Harper, this might work here.
And I'm going to tell you. That when they go into the ditch, right? So turkeys can sometimes have very short attention spans. And you know, when he's in that ditch, he can't see the decoy. Mm-hmm. So then I've seen him walk into a ditch and never come out. I've seen it happen.
Because they can't find the way out.
They're not the brightest birds. They just have great instinct. That's what I tell everyone. And if they could smell, you'd never kill one because they can see and hear like nobody's business. So this thing goes in the ditch and that feeling of just sitting there and you're almost praying for that redhead to just pop up on the other side of the ditch.
And he popped up and he instantly gobbled, went in the strut. And I'm like, told her, I said, this is going to work now. Get ready. And he just took his time. Once he got within that 80-yard mark, you could hear him spitting and drumming. I'm just trying to explain to her, you hear that spitting, you know, and he ended up starting angling. And I'm like, all right, Harper, you're going to get the gun out the window and get ready now.
Okay, stop for a second. Harper, what are you thinking at this point?
Well, I was like excited, but nervous at the same time.
Were you nervous? Yeah. Were you shaking? I think I would be surprised if you weren't shaken, because
no kidding.
To this day, after I've hunted and killed many, many turkeys, I get that same feeling every time. Mm-hmm. It's so exciting. So you're sitting there and this sucker's close now. Pretty big fan on him and all that stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Then so Justin, then finish the story here.
So he started angling. I got her set up with the gun out the window. We were hunting in one of those see-through blinds, which is awesome.
Nice.
I'm starting to just love them.
Those are, because
you can just sit there and you can watch. Well, this bird, apparently we blended in very well, crossed the last ditch that we were sitting right on and popped up, and we could have almost petted this thing as it came walking by.
As it was walking toward the decoys.
And full struck came by, and it blew past the window and ran into my decoy and started pounding on the decoy. Every time that Tom would jump up and flap the decoy and whack it, she would jump.
Oh, yeah.
Get freaked out.
That's so exciting.
So I had to get her situated out of a different window, and it was in full strut, and he just kept spinning around the decoy, and so he wouldn't give you a good shot, give you a good shot. So finally...
And what he's talking about there, folks, if you haven't turkey hunted before, when they're in full strut, their heads are tucked down, and you want to make an ethical kill shot. You want to make sure you hit it well and kill it immediately, and that's also, you know, helps... less hormones and everything running through the meat when you give it an instant kill. You know, the animal's lived free its whole life, and if you're going to use it for sustenance, that's what this show is about, and that's what's fantastic about taking meat from the field to the table. So you got this thing turning around the decoy at this point, but it's not really giving you a shot, and you have a brand new hunter, so you want to make sure that's kind of neck stretched out, good, you know, as feasible of a shot as possible.
Yep. And I kept yelping on him. He didn't care. He just was locked in full strut, with not coming out. I tried saying different things and it didn't do it. And I told Harper, I said, if you get on it, pull the trigger.
So meanwhile, is she on a tripod? Is she on
resting
stick?
The gun right on the blind window.
She's resting the gun on the... Did you feel pretty stable at that point, Harper?
I did. It's just like, because I was kind of just like sitting there just shaking, because I'm just like,
oh, yeah.
Nervous.
Yeah. And that gun, even when you're balancing that gun gets heavy after a little while, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now, did you have a red dot scope on it, or were you just aiming with the beads?
Just a bead.
Just the beads.
20 gauge? 12 gauge.
12 gauge.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Holy cow.
Do you have
Good for you, Harper. Do you have a bruise on your shoulder?
No.
Wow.
She's
That's
tough,
pretty impressive.
Joel.
Yeah, she's tough. No doubt about it. Tougher than me. I'd have a bruise.
Yeah. And a Band-Aid.
That's, yes. Oh, that one time I shot a turkey. I had the bridge of the gun next to my nose hit me in the face. Two black eyes for 3 weeks. But that didn't happen to you, because I'm looking at you and you don't have any black eyes. So finally, you say to her, pull the trigger when you're ready.
Yep.
And what happens, Harper?
Just sitting there, just like trying to get a good aim on him, but he just like kept like spinning, and like I couldn't really get a good like aim at him. And then I finally just like, when he kind of was just like his facing us a little more longer, I just pulled it, the trigger.
Wow.
What happened?
It wasn't a picture perfect moment. It was more than one shot, but
that's okay.
That's okay.
And
that is okay.
The moral of that is, you waited until that turkey was in perfect range, and so you were able to take that follow-up shot safely, closely, and definitely ethically, and make sure that bird was dead, and she then had her first turkey. I mean, isn't it incredible, the adrenaline rush and the feeling of being able to do that, Harper? What did that feel like?
It was exciting to see him just like run and like just shoot at him. And it's just like,
well, yeah, that is exciting.
Yeah, that's exciting. Yes.
And it was exciting just to like get like my first like bird or like shoot at anything, really.
Yeah,
your first harvest overall.
Yeah.
So do you think now that you've harvested your first bird, are people in your family going to start turkey hunting? Are they a little jealous?
Yeah.
Yeah. Justin, What? Really?
I ended up taking her brother
after she harvested hers
on Sunday, and Sunday night we got
Brother was a little jealous.
That is awesome. Wow. That is absolutely awesome. Both, I mean, you see the turkeys in this room, right?
Oh, yeah.
Those are harvested by my daughters. So they, that one's not, but that one was my oldest daughter's first turkey. So they've all been out there and doing it. And what's the feeling that you get, Justin, is just incredible, isn't it? Oh, taking somebody and helping them have that first experience is just incredible.
Nothing beats it.
And I want to talk for a minute. You said you have been helping with the Mentored Hunt program out of Tom's Guns in Marshall, Wisconsin. Tom Burkholz, who has since passed very recently, means the world to me personally as an influence in my life. I was a legislator knocking on doors and trying to get my votes when I first met Tom Burkholz. And Tom Burkholz at 38 years old, I was 38 years old, Tom Burkholz took me on my first ever hunt. And I'll have you know, he had he took the former lieutenant governor, my wife, on her first ever successful turkey hunt. So the first time I ever hunted was shoulder to shoulder with Tom Burkholz. He did plant our heads at the base of a giant manure pile in a field when we goose hunted. But Tom and Julie have put their hearts and souls into making sure people understand what it's like to get into Wisconsin's outdoors and to be part of the hunting community. I will forever be grateful to Tom Burkholz, whose legacy will live on in those who continue doing things like you. I can't tell you how important it is that you recognize now that there is a void, and there is a void with Tom Burkholz being gone. Tom had that quirky smile on his face and sarcastic wit with everybody. And the thing he loved the most in life was showing people how to get the most out of Wisconsin's outdoors. He dedicated his life to it. He made sure that everyone he took had a real chance at a harvest. And beyond that, he appreciated the beauty of the sunrise in the morning and that first gobble in the trees. And the legacy that Tom has with his children and his son-in-law really is a testament to the state of Wisconsin. So I want to personally thank you for continuing Tom Burkholz's legacy and taking people like Harper out there. This is what Raised in Wisco is about. It's about helping folks understand that they have access to the outdoors in Wisconsin, and the sky is the limit. I'm so excited about that. And I'm really excited because Chef Ellie Mae Lawton is going to be talking about some recipes for wild turkey, which can be tricky, but it's absolutely delicious if done right. This is Raised in Wisco. Awesome story. Justin Cumbier has dedicated 10 years of his life to making sure folks get into the outdoors, taking mentored hunters out. And he first experienced it with Tom Burkholz at Tom's Guns. This is Raised in Wisco. This is one of the exciting things about the show. I'm Joel Clayfish. Ellie Mae Lawton is filling in for Danielle this week. Of course, she's going to have an amazing recipe. Justin Cumbier is here. Harper's here. And Tabitha Cumbier is here as well. What a fantastic testament this is to how great Wisconsin's outdoors are. And if you want to find a way to get into the outdoors, there are people there to help you do it. And Tom's Guns Mentored Hunt every year is a legacy to Tom, and it will continue to be, I'm sure of that.
Yeah. Before we get into food, Harper, I want to ask you, what did you do with your turkey after you harvested it?
Right now, I just like, well, we cut like the meat out of it and everything, but I might put like a fan on it.
Oh, awesome. That's fantastic. Justin, I want to talk to you about how you got into mentoring just real quick, and then also how you prepare your mentees. Do you do firearm safety? Do you teach them about the calls? Kind of walk us through how that looks.
I got involved in the mentorship, like I said, it was about 10 years ago. My wife And my father-in-law actually knew Tom and Julie before I was in the picture. And I ended up meeting Tom and Julie as FFL doing banquets. Mm-hmm. And they were still our FFL dealer for all our banquets and everything. So I heard about it and I enjoy turkey hunting and I love trying to teach people about turkey hunting. So I signed up and I was been doing it ever since.
And how do you find your mentees? Just word of mouth?
A lot of it's word of mouth. Since this year we started up one with Marshall Lions Club. He knew that Marshall Lions, Kevin Moreland knew a lot of people. I knew a lot of people, family, friends that mm-hmm. all jumped up right away. And then it was just, you publish a PR on Facebook. I mean, it's huge.
It's fantastic.
And then people started coming out of the woodworks that, you know, did it through time and they wanted to see it keep going. So, I mean, we ended up having 40 mentors, 38 hunters.
That's awesome. That's so fantastic. We harvested
25 birds opening
for Sunday. Wow. What a fantastic testament to life well lived.
Wow, that is crazy. And then what do you do to prepare your mentees for the hunt?
We do on Wednesday night before the Saturday of the hunt, we have a shooting. You come out and you shoot. We pattern your guns.
That's awesome.
Make sure everybody's comfortable. Our club went out. We went and purchased guns to make sure, you know, not everybody has guns or has access. So we have 4x10s, 20x12, red dots all available. And then we have a class with the game warden, a little PowerPoint just to talk about turkey hunting, mm-hmm. you know, what to look for, scouting, a jake, a tomahen, stuff like that.
Wow. Oh,
that's fantastic.
From start to finish, really. That's awesome.
I love it.
And then my last question before, I promise we're going to get to the food.
We better.
you've been hunting turkeys for a long time. So what is your favorite way to prepare your turkey?
Well, my dad was around our first one that I shot. We did turkey nuggets, but I'm hooked on turkey brats.
Turkey brats.
Yes. So do you make them yourself? Or do you have them made?
We always took them to Brad's Deer Processor.
Brad's is my favorite.
Another connection.
I love Brad's.
Wow. But you really are Joel Jr.
Why are you saying brats? Junior? I mean, we're probably about the same age.
I think you should just relax over there.
There's nothing better than a turkey brat with pepper jack cheese in it.
Oh,
it's amazing.
Well, now I have another reason to go to Brad's because I've got his venison brats, his venison cheese brats in my freezer as we speak.
Oh, my gosh.
Speaking of great stuff to put in the freezer, what are we going to talk about for our recipe this week, Chef Law?
We're talking about turkey.
Let's do it.
Okay, so turkey breast, pickle juice brine. That's what we're going to start with. Yeah. So pickle juice brine, a traditional brine... Mine is a gallon of water to a cup of salt. I swap out, I'm blessed that my mother makes fantastic homemade pickles. So I use the brine from her pickles and swap out the water, let it sit for 24 hours. You can over brine a turkey. That just means it's going to be too salty if you leave it in too long. So you want to do really an hour brine per pound of meat you have. So you could do a few of them. And then after you brine it, pull it out, and then I roast it in the oven, covered. I use some broth, and then after that, I shred this one, and I made a grilled cheese with the shredded pickle
brine
turkey with Swiss cheese and some cherry chutney.
Justin, by the way, is motioning to his wife to write this down. Probably because Justin doesn't know how to read or write and he needs his wife to do it for him.
He really is Joel Jr. So that's my pickle juice brine turkey grilled cheese. But you can take the meat. I mean, you're shredding the meat when it comes out of the oven and you can put it on anything. But that is just so good.
That sounds phenomenal.
Does it really taste like pickles?
You get the hint of it, but I like to put pickles on the sandwich as well.
Yeah, I like pickles on just about every sandwich. So.
Yeah.
You know, I want to talk. Turkey is one of those wild game meats that's tough for some people because it is such a lean protein. There's really no fat.
Yeah, you really want to brine, especially, yes, you want to brine it for sure.
And so often when people cook turkey, they'll take the breast out of it and, you know, turkey breasts, I will say this. Nobody can say wild turkey tastes gamey. The
no.
taste of wild turkey, the taste alone is exactly like a turkey breast you buy from the store. Exactly. Now, the meat is a little more fibrous, right? So you've got to kind of break that down in some way. And what I tell people is, remember, if you cut something into very, very small chunks, it's a lot less chewy. So yeah. You said you started out with turkey nuggets, and I also think that that's a great way to start. Eat turkey is to just chop it into little teeny tiny nuggets. The other thing I like to do, I will beat the snot out of it with a tenderizer and then cut it into little pieces. Then I will soak it in olive oil.
Oh.
And that puts some of the fat... will go, you know, the fat of the olive oil will absorb into the meat. All right.
Also, roasting the drumsticks in beef broth for about 6 to 8 hours will be the most delicious meat ever.
Ooh, make sure you pick out all those bones in there, but that does sound fantastic. Before we wrap up the show, Jacob, I got to know, we got a chance of pulling you out into the field?
Definitely. Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, it sounds so glamorous. I think I'm going to get into it.
Well, glamorous it may not be, but the opportunity to take someone who's never done it and have them be part of the show and come back and talk about it really trips my trigger. So I'm very excited about that. Jacob, great to have you on the show. The Come Beers who came. Justin, thanks for all you do. Tabitha, thank you for putting up with Justin and all he does for all the
and
mentors
his hours
and
away
mentees.
From you.
Yes. And Harper, the biggest congratulations to you. Thanks for coming along. You have a very bright future ahead of you. That I can tell. Folks, we love it that you come along and listen to us. We're honored to have you as guests. Enjoy the great outdoors. I'm Joel Clayfish. That's Ellie Lawton. This is Raised in Wisco. See you next week.
Country.
Yeah, this could be your last drink from a stranger in a bar. The last time that you're dancing in unfamiliar arms. Yeah, this could be your last first kiss if we do this thing right. Your last time alone beneath neon lights. It could be your last night coming in here drinking all by yourself. The last time giving your heart away to someone else. Yeah, we could be some history in the making, girl. Tonight might be your last night lonely. Yeah, you could be the last first name that's ever been worth asking. Yeah, you could be the last phone number I write down on a napkin. Yeah, you could be the last girl that I take back home to mama. The last time that we're talked about in this small town drama. It's gonna be the last night coming in here drinking all by yourself. The last time giving your heart away to someone else. Yeah, we could be some history in the making, girl.
You around and bring you back to where you were. Some
to local radio. 98.3 FM WCQM, Park Falls, a Civic Media station. This is 98Q Country.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. With two of the nine justices dissenting, the U.S. Supreme Court has made an emergency Saturday morning ruling stopping the Trump administration from using the Alien Enemies Act to deport people.